The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
7. A new 3D scan has revealed previously unseen detail of the wreck of explorer Ernest Shackleton's Endurance. The wreck was uncovered in the icy waters of Antarctica more than a century after it sank, but this is for the first time we can see the tiny details from the vessel, such as plates used for the daily meals and even a flare gun fired in tribute to the ship as it sank. The digital scan, which is made from 25,000 high-resolution images, was captured when the ship was found. Now, I'm joined by Jonathan Shackleton, cousin of the explorer, to get his reaction to this. But first, Esther Adley, senior news editor with The Guardian, who has the story. Esther, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, the ship went down. It had to be abandoned, in fact, in 1915, in November of 1915. Remind us of what happened to it.
Well, yes, this is, I'm sure many of your listeners know the story of Ernest Shackleton, who was, of course, an Irishman, though he's often assumed to have been an Englishman, but he was an Irishman. He was born in Kildare. He is really celebrated as one of the great leaders of the 20th century, having really gone through what you would say was a great heroic failure in many ways. He was attempting to lead the first land crossing of Antarctica, and it sailed his crew in this ship Endurance, but they became stuck in ice. And while they waited for the ship to be freed, what actually happened was it was being crushed by the pack ice. And many months later, the ship was crushed and eventually sank. Now, the reason Shackleton's famous is because he would then go on to lead his men on the most extraordinary rescue mission, as it were. He led them all to a tiny island, and then he took a small crew and sailed in a tiny boat through the Southern Ocean and then hiked across South Georgia. It's the most astonishing story as to how he was able to rescue his crew, and not a single man died. Not a single one did, no.
So the ship went down in, what, 3,000 metres of water, so lost really completely. How was it discovered?
Yes, that's right. It was 3 kilometres deep in this very, very dark, remote and frozen sea. And the rough location of it was known, but it had never been found until 2022. An expedition went back and they had a film crew with them making a documentary, and the ship was found. As I say, it's sort of really in inhospitable conditions. It's not something you would dive down to, really. So they had sent down these robots to capture digital scans of the wreck. And what they were able to see when they put all these scans together and into a sort of composite image is that it is incredibly well preserved. The really astonishing detail that you can see with this technology now, but also that it has hardly decayed at all. There's damage to the ship where it was crushed, but you can still see the paintwork on the back of the name Endurance. Amazing.
So basically, because the water is so cold, the normal degradation that you might expect of a timber ship did not happen. And I presume what happened with the ship itself, as the ice crushed it, obviously it began to distort and water got in, and it was inevitably going to sink, which it did.
Yes, you can see that. And actually, amazingly, there is actually film footage of it being crushed by the ice by one of the crew recorded it. And so the masts had toppled, and there is obviously damage to the hull, although it's sitting just flat on the seabed, certainly the way the images show it. But the ropes are intact. You can see the ship's wheel. There's a leather boot sitting on top of the deck, completely, seemingly unaltered, undecayed. And as you say, there's a couple of items from the ship that you again can be seen in these amazing images.
And the flare gun that was fired, I mean, it is known exactly who fired it, and it was recorded where he left it.
This is an amazing story. So the expedition's photographer, Frank Hurley, who was an Australian, as the ship went down, he writes in his diary that he fired a flare gun in tribute to the ship, you know, goodbye Endurance, essentially, and set the flare gun down on the deck. And you can imagine this terribly traumatic moment for the crew in the middle of nowhere watching their ship go down. And that very moment when he set the gun on the deck, it's obviously been captured for a century at the bottom of the ocean, because you can see this one little gun sitting on the deck, exactly where he left it a century ago.
And the technology that was used to scan the wreck, I said, you know, 25,000 high-resolution images. Did they not depend on optical images, rather some sort of, I don't know, radar images to get all the detail?
Well, you're slightly reaching the edge of my expertise there, Pat, but I understand it's laser and photogrammetric technology that they've used to capture these. And then obviously there's a way that they can put all those images together, as it were. So it's not a photograph. It's a composite, but it's able to show it in that incredible detail.
When you think about the equipment they had at the time and, you know, the kind of outerwear, you know, compared to what we have today, we have light, very warm, well-insulated gear that is worn in polar regions. And even then, people wear many layers. What was available to them, I don't know, in cotton and wool and some sort of Macintosh material, that's about the height of it.
Yeah, so of course you can imagine that it was, you know, and they didn't have, so there was knitted mittens for their fingers. They were wearing Burberry Macs, you know, leather boots, as I say. There's this sort of knee-high boot that is seen, you know, it would keep you warm in a normal circumstance, but for months at a time camping on the ice, you can imagine what an extraordinary experience these men had gone through and really the miracle of their survival.
Now, what will happen to the 3D image that has been, will an attempt be made to create a physical manifestation of that 3D image, which is now available?
I'm not sure what the plans are for that. The reason it's been released now, Pat, is there's a new documentary that has been made of the expedition to find Endurance, which obviously tells some of the stories of Shackleton's amazing voyage, using his diary entries and whatnot. And the images have been released to coincide with that. It's a National Geographic documentary.
And they're going to use some of Hurley's original photographic material, colorized, which should be very interesting to enhance the documentary.
Exactly. Yeah, sorry to interrupt you there. Exactly. So, and he was quite a pioneering photographer, both in his filmmaking and his photography. So there are some really incredible images from this story, you know. And one of the other things that they have done in the documentary, which is amazing, is that they have taken the diary entries of a few of the men, including Shackleton, that they have voice recordings for. And they have used AI then to reconstruct these men's voices. And so it appears that they are narrating their own diaries. Now, they were never recorded reading them, sure, but because they have their own voices, they can do that through AI now. So that's another feature of the documentary, which, you know, I assume the filmmakers think that will really help bring these men's stories to life in their own words.
Well, it's a fascinating story, and thank you very much for joining us. Esther Adley, senior news writer with The Guardian. Listening to our conversation is Jonathan Shackleton, cousin of the explorer. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Now, first of all, what temperature is in your studio at the moment?
The temperature is about 18 degrees.
Okay, if you were sitting at the South Pole, heaven forbid, it'd be minus 50. With a bit of wind, it'd be minus 54 degrees Celsius. So just put things in perspective. The temperature there, I've been embedded in the Weddell Sea in an icebreaker myself, not far from the wreck, but obviously on the surface, and it was minus 25 degrees Celsius. And then you put it into the context of, well, Ernest Shackleton and his 27 men being there in the middle of winter as well, or through summer and winter. It's a place where somebody said that, you know, it is at once the cleanest and most isolated way ever devised of having a bad time. But the guy that kept them all cheerful was obviously Ernest Shackleton.
Now, can you fill us in, because I'm sure these artifacts may even reside with your family, the kind of clothing, the kind of protection they had?
Well, they had a lot of very tightly woven, as your previous speaker said, Burberry gear and underlayers and various woolen garments too, which some of which were made specially for them in the Shetland Islands, and good footwear. So they never complained about the cold, really. And it's all relative. We're very mollycoddled nowadays in terms of temperature.
Now, your reaction to the discovery of the wreck in 2022, I mean, there's never a prospect of bringing it up. I presume if anyone were to try, and why would they, what would happen is the thing would probably rot fairly quickly when exposed to the atmosphere, having been protected by the cold water for so long.
Absolutely, and being and it's, as I said, 3,008 meters down in very, very tricky. I mean, on the surface there are several meters of ice, so it would have disintegrated. And I think I was absolutely staggered that they found it. The director of the operations directive, so the expedition, Menson Bound, had tried before, a couple of years before, and failed. And their AUV was going to do the scanning and everything disappeared. So this time we thought, oh gosh, it's going to fail again. And it was, I think they were about 19 days already in the Weddell Sea, covering the area where Frank Worsley, the captain, had done his coordinates in 1915. And it was really very close to the end that they found it. And the person I've met quite a few of the people involved, and the person I really warmed to, if that's the right word, was Nico Vincent, who was in charge of the AUV. And it was his technology that actually managed to locate the wreck. And it was obviously heading into the Antarctic winter, the ship, which had come from South Africa, had to turn around or else they'd be stuck there forever.
But the same fate as the Endurance, basically.
Exactly. But there were a hell of a lot. Sorry, there are a lot of people, more people on board. I mean, there was a huge staff of experts, ice masters, meteorologists who did historic reconstructions of the climate. So actually, near the end was someone who was able to predict. Well, we've covered 80% of this, the floor down three kilometers. How about this other place where, you know, maybe in the terms of those days' climate, it would have been there. And then they found it. And, you know, there's a great team. And the expedition leader, John Shears, is very experienced in Antarctic waters. So, it was, to me, a miracle. Having watched the film, well, I was driven by a London cabbie to the Royal Festival Hall on Saturday for the world premiere, and he told me more, I won't say more about Shackleton than I knew, and then he started talking about Irvine being found on Everest, his boot or something. It was actually found by one of the directors of the Shackleton film, Jimmy Chin. But the story itself, I felt, as your previous speaker said, I wasn't the colorizing of Frank Hurley, the brilliant photographer, though in the Shackleton expedition. The colorizing was not overdone, was good. The AI, and I have a voice recording of Ernest Shackleton on a record, and the AI of him reading his diaries, which obviously is AI work, was compatible with the film. I felt, and a few other people felt, we would love to have seen more about the modern-day technology, Nico Vincent's work, and there were, you know, they said there were 25,000 images taken. We would like to have seen more of that. And a lot of people do know the Shackleton story, and there have been previous films. And I thought, you know, the balance maybe was tipped maybe a bit too much in favor of the original story, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, towards the neophyte who'd have no real knowledge of the Shackleton story.
Absolutely, and I'm not saying this, but maybe in the United States that'd be welcome. But you know, who knows? Yeah. The other thing that we wondered now, where can people see it, and particularly in Ireland? I was asked, and you know, they're showing it in the Queen's Film Theatre tonight at 6:15. But the only other opportunity here is going to be at one of the most wonderful polar gatherings in the world. Now, internationally famous is the Shackleton Autumn School in Athy on November the 8th to the 10th. And they're showing it there for ticket holders. And the producer, Ruth Johnson, is going to be doing a Q&A after showing the film. So that would be a good opportunity. And, you know, that weekend includes talks about Mallory and Everest, about Arctic disasters, about Shackleton's Captain Worsley. And someone is giving a talk, a friend of mine, Joe Farrell, called The Fragility of Polar Reputations. You know, and these reputations, you know, Shackleton is on a high. And, you know, for a lot of the human qualities that he had, but you know, people come and the age decides, oh well, we don't like Scott, although he was the hero, you know, after dying on his expedition. And the bottom line is, and I've traveled with Captain Scott's grandson in the Antarctic, I've been there over 40 times, which is a huge privilege, but they're all human beings, and we sort of sometimes forget that, and we put them on pedestals and find faults. And But, you know, it's a wonderful film, and I recommend everybody getting the chance to watch it. I think it's going to be streamed on Disney.
Well, I look forward to that. I can't wait, to be quite honest. I'm dying to see it.
It's an incredible production. But I would like to see more of the technology. Nico Vincent, who's a lovely Frenchman, who is has a book coming out with John Shears about the Endurance Expedition. And, you know, maybe I haven't seen that, but maybe there'll be a lot more of the images in that book, which is coming out in November.
Jonathan, thank you very much for joining us. Jonathan Shackleton, cousin of the Explorer.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.